Joshua chapter 8, we'll be looking at the first 29 verses. As we consider the work of Christ, justice satisfied. As I've said before, and I'll reiterate it, it is a sad reality that in far too many churches, when the Old Testament is preached, it is preached only with a moral lesson. Morals are good, but morals without the gospel are meaningless. Whenever we preach or teach or read the Old Testament, we need to read it with gospel ears and gospel hearts. These were not mere events that happened in history that are disassociated from you and me. These point to the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Today you've heard of the covenant of circumcision from the account in Genesis 17. The time in which Abram's name was changed to Abraham. The circumcision did not change anything about Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith first, and then he was circumcised. You heard further on the righteousness of faith from the fourth chapter of Romans. You and me are not part of a coattail religion. You and me are not part of a religion that we get in on our parents' or our grandparents' faith. Those who are righteous have the faith of Abraham. Indeed, you've heard me say that Israel, true Israel, are those who have the faith of Abraham. Today we have ethnic, biological Israel. Those Jews living over in Israel and throughout the world who can physically trace their lineage back to Abraham. But they are not true Israel. True Israel are those believing Jews and those believing Gentiles who acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Later, we will hear of death and resurrection. The work of Christ. Culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as we consider this text from Joshua this morning, let's think through it with gospel hearts, gospel ears, considering death and resurrection. As the means through which God's justice was satisfied. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's consider that God gave that city of Ai to Israel with the same instructions. Take it. The only exception was they were allowed to take of the spoils. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you that it is your goodness that calls us to repentance, calls us out of darkness and into light, calls us away from worldliness, away from fleshliness, and to righteousness and holiness. Lord, we thank you for your work. Your work on our behalf that satisfied the justice that was demanded by our sin. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As I brought out last week, these first two cities, Jericho and Ai, represent two different enemies that you have. Jericho represented the enemy of this world. And today, as we consider our first point in these first two verses, we see man's greatest enemy, the flesh. Your greatest enemy is not this world, though there are things of this world that will try to sway you, that will try to pull you, that will try to weigh you down. But your greatest enemy is yourself, the one you spend the most time with. Last week we saw how Joshua was a little prideful. He had just come off a great victory at Jericho, so he sends a couple of spies. And they say, the situation isn't like what we just experienced at Jericho. We've got this one in the bag. We don't need to send everybody. Just send a couple of thousand men. The reality is you need all of your resources against the flesh. Your flesh, your old nature, is such a threat, such an enemy to you that you need every resource at your disposal for victory over the flesh. At Jericho, Israel was not to take any spoil for themselves, but here God told them to take what they want. Isn't that interesting? Do you find that a little interesting? At Jericho, they weren't to touch the accursed thing. It was to be a spoil unto God. But at Ai, they can take whatever they want. What's the difference? Why is there a difference in the instruction? Why is there a difference in what God allows between Jericho and Ai? The spoil of Jericho was consecrated to the Lord because this was the land he was giving Israel. Think about that. Jericho is the very first city that they came to in the promised land. It's the very first enemy. This is the land, 300,000 square miles was promised to the people of Israel. The whole land is before them. Jericho is the first stop. That was the spoil of that city was consecrated to the Lord because it was the Lord that was giving them the rest of the land. God separated Israel from the world for himself. God separated Israel from the world for himself. If Jericho represents the world, God's separating them from Jericho. God's separating them from the spoils of Jericho. The spoils are his own, and Israel are his own. The possessions were God's, and the people were God's possession. Victory over the flesh, and Ai represents the flesh, is not a call to bland living. You and me are to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not to partake in the pleasures of this world. We're not to enjoy what the world enjoys. But we are not called to a bland living. We're not Gnostics. We don't see everything that the flesh does as evil just because it's fleshly. You and me can enjoy life. And so when we consider those spoils of Ai, there are things that religion will tell you are wrong. There are things that some folks would perceive as wrong. Like when we get to 1 Corinthians, and there was the whole issue of meat sacrifice to idols. Stronger Christians were realizing, hey, it's just meat. It's just a steak. It's just ribs. I can eat this. But weaker Christians, we're seeing something more in it because where it came from. And Paul said, enjoy. The meat is nothing. Enjoy it. God's saying to Israel, I'm giving you victory, and enjoy what's there. Joshua had a battle strategy. Joshua's battle strategy this time was a lot different than what we saw last week. Last week he listened to his spies. AI is not that great. In fact, if you go and you try to search for the ruins of AI today, you're not really going to find much. It's been forgotten to the sands of time. But God's strategy is what's on Joshua's heart now. Chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. So Joshua rose, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. But they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then shall ye rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord, shall you do? See, I have commanded you. You see what Joshua's doing here? He's playing. God is put it in Joshua's heart to play on what's just happened in the previous chapter. God is using what Israel attempted in their own strength as his own battle strategy for Israel. In the flesh, Joshua thought, a couple of thousand men is all I need. And when they went up against Ai, they fled. And God is using that fleeing, that defeat, now as a battle strategy against the people of Ai. Because now the people of Ai have in their mind, hey, we can defeat these people. They're going to flee before us just like they fled before us before. And so Joshua takes a certain portion, 30,000 men, and says, lie in wait. Don't go in the city. Don't go too far from the city. Lie in wait. And the rest of us are going to march up, and then we're going to draw back. And we're going to lure the men of battle out of the city of Ai, making it look like we're fleeing, just like we fled before when we were doing this in our own strength. And when we lure the people out, then we're going to take the city by force. Joshua's strategy was led by God. It worked as planned, and Ai fell easily. As easily as Israel was defeated in their own strength, was Ai defeated by God's strength. God's godly strategy is twofold. Godly strategy recognizes the enemy and his potential. What was the potential? Potential was they were going to see Israel coming and they were going to come out. Recognize your enemy. Recognize the weakness of your own flesh. Recognize those things that you easily are enticed by. And godly strategy also examines defeat carefully. Where have you been defeated? In what ways have you been enticed by the desires of your flesh? In what way have you fallen by the desires of your flesh? Examine those defeats carefully. Recognize the potential of your flesh. The reason for defeat is dependence on your own ability. Do you feel defeated today in an area of your life? Do you feel beat down? Do you feel like hope is lost? Do you feel like life is over? Do you feel like God's done with you? The reason you feel like that is because you've been depending on your own strength. It's often used as a trite expression, but it's also a true expression. Let go, let God. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25a, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. How do you recognize the enemy and his potential? Recognize the enemy as your flesh. and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who's the enemy? The enemy is the flesh. What's the potential of the enemy? The potential of the enemy is that you're going to let down your guard. The potential of the enemy is that you're going to try to do things in your own strength. And when you see that, recognize it. Examine your past defeats and call out and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Tragically, you often try to control the flesh in your own strength. Think back over the course of your lives. Think back over the last couple of years. Think back over just the last 2 months. Think back over the last week. How many times have you tried to do things in your own strength? How many times have you tried to control your flesh in your own strength? It is a tragedy when you try to control your flesh by your own strength. Only the Holy Spirit can control your flesh. Only the Holy Spirit can control your flesh. J. Vernon McGee said it this way: Christ died not only that you might have salvation, but he died that this sin nature might be dealt with. Think about that. Christ died not only for you to be saved, but that your sin nature would be dealt with. The moment that you first believed was not the end of your faith. That was the beginning of your faith. From that point until now and until the day you die, you are dealing with the sin nature. And you are dealing with the sin nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak to the flesh. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How are you walking? How is your walk today? You find yourself chained to the law? Or do you find yourself freed by the law? See, too many folks misinterpret the law of God as something that we're freed from, but rather we're freed by the law of God. We're not freed from the law, we're freed by the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus crossed every T and dotted every I. The only man to ever be tempted in every point, even as you are tempted today, and not sin. And he went to the cross. And because he had no sin of his own, he was able to take your sin upon himself. And now you are freed by the law. Christ paid the penalty for your sin, and the Holy Spirit brings victory out of defeat. That's the relationship of the Godhead. Christ pays the penalty for your sin, and the Holy Spirit brings victory out of defeat. You and me are a defeated people. You and me carry a lot of baggage. But the Holy Spirit brings victory. The Holy Spirit takes those bags from you and me. And he leads us to victory in Christ Jesus. So that we can, as J. Vernon McGee said, not only have salvation, but deal with our sinful nature. Unless you depend on the power of the Spirit, your flesh, like Ai, will defeat you. Think about last week. Children of Israel, we got this. To your tents. We're going to send out the special forces. We don't need to send everybody. We can do this. We won at Jericho. We can win here. But they weren't depending on the Spirit of God. Now they have a battle strategy that is not man-centered, but it's God-centered. And they're ready to attack. Verses 10 through 17. Back to Joshua chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. When they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that he hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liers in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. What was God's battle strategy? What was God's method by which Israel would attack Ai? Draw the men of battle out. Every last one of them would be drawn out. The first time, they sent just a few thousand men. People of Ai looked, said, we can take them. They took 36 lives. This time, they send in the forces. They don't send in everybody. Joshua, at the Lord's leading, stations some to lie in wait, to lie waiting for an ambush. And when they and so Ai sees a larger battalion, a larger fighting force, and so they go out. They send all of their fighting forces out, leaving the city wide open. And those lying in wait take the city by force, because there's no one to defend it. And God is telling you and me to know your flesh, know your weaknesses, know the ways in which you are tempted to sin against God. Recognize the potential for weakness. Recognize the potential of your flesh. Examine your previous defeats. Use all your resources. But don't put all your eggs in one basket. Use some resources here as those marching toward battle, and use some resources over here so that when the flesh is drawn out, then you can go in. Jesus would say it another way, that when the strong man is drawn out and the house is swept, it's just a matter of time until that strong man brings more with him. And the latter end of the man is worse than the first. You and me need to go in by force, not just clean everything out, but we need to replace what our flesh has with the Word of God. Those phylacteries that Israel wore on their wrists and on their foreheads weren't just so that they could parade about their righteousness and their holiness. It was to be a reminder of where they came from. It was to be a reminder of whose they were. The psalmist said best, hide God's word in your heart. How are you going to defeat the flesh? By hiding God's word in your heart. Draw out the evil desires that are in you and hide God's word in your heart. Garbage in, garbage out works for computer programming. But garbage in, garbage out does not work in Christianity. Garbage out, yes. But the Word of God in. Garbage out, the Word of God in. Then we see strength in battle, verses 18 through 23. Strength in battle and victory. 18 through 23, and then 24 through 29. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, and I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. and the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them, and they let none of them remain or escape. Did you notice what the Lord said in Joshua, the instructions that God gave? Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand. Doesn't that remind you of something else that's happened pretty recently to Joshua's time in their history? Yeah. Israel's at battle. As long as Moses' hands are raised, Israel's winning. But when Moses' hands grow tired and begin to fall, the enemies begin to win. And remember, Joshua was Moses' understudy. Joshua was one of the men, along with Hur, who held up Moses' arms when they grew tired. This is God's way of setting Joshua as the new leader. Just as Moses had struck the sea and the sea divided, God gave Joshua instruction to have the priest go and step into the Jordan, and the Jordan would be rolled back. Just as Moses was confronted by a burning bush, Joshua was confronted by the captain of the Lord. Now, just as Moses held up his arms and Israel was victorious in battle, now Joshua raises up the spear in his hand and Israel is victorious. They have strength in battle. And the victory is given to them, verse 24. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. Think about this. Last week, Israel tried in their own strength and lost 36 of their own. Here, Israel is victorious in God's strength, and they take the lives of 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation. And the king of Ai hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereupon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. The king of the city of Ai was hanged on a tree. But according to Mosaic law, couldn't stay there overnight. Because cursed is everyone. Cursed is every man that is hanged on a tree. Thousands of years from that point to this point, another man, another king, would be hanged on a tree. It would become the curse for you and for me. At that point, when the king of Ai's body was taken down, he was cast at the gate of the city, and they raised up a great heap of stones that remaineth to the time that Joshua wrote this account. that other man, the God man, the Christ, the Son of the living God, hung on a tree for you and me, became a curse for us. He was taken down. He was put in a tomb that no man had ever been laid in, and a stone was put at the entrance to the tomb. That stone didn't remain there, for God rolled the stone away. Not so that Jesus could get out, but so that you and me could hear the testimony of the disciples that the tomb was empty. God's justice was satisfied at Calvary and on Resurrection Sunday morning. How are you doing in your fight against the flesh? Are you depending on the curse that was placed upon Jesus? Are you depending on the stone that was rolled away and the risen Jesus for your victory? Or are you looking, like Israel did last week, at your own strength? Whose strength are you depending on? If you depend on your own strength, you're going to be defeated. If you depend on the strength of Christ and the way in which He satisfied God's justice, you will get the victory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before You. We thank You that just as the King of Ai was cursed by hanging on a tree, that You too was cursed by hanging on a tree. That just as He was buried with a heap of stones, You were buried behind a stone. But unlike that king, You're not behind that stone. For You're at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us, mediating on our behalf. Grace and peace and mercy. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. By way of announcements, before we get to prayer requests, we have a family returning next week to join us in worship. Brian.